This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
Socks got rocked.
Here's the 2-2. Ripped into the outfield, that's a base hit. 5-0 Rangers. Heim rounds second, he heads for third. It's hard to imagine the Red Sox can leave Giolito in the game any longer. I mean, it is the right-handed hitter, Wyatt Langford. I guess that's the reason. A line drive into center field, that's a base hit. He drives home another run, and it's 6-0 Rangers. Two down, two strikes in the bottom of the ninth inning. Story waits, Martin throws, swing and a miss. He got him with a cut fastball, and the inning and ball game are over. Another super frustrating night for the Red Sox, who've lost 5 of 6. They are again below 500.
It's over.
Good for Will. He's like, yeah. Boy, it's hard to imagine.
Can't leave him out there for more of this.
Giolito's going to be out there for any more of this.
Yeah.
Brow beating he's taken. No. He's out there. Stayed out there. Continued to stay out there.
So fourth inning.
Give up just missile after missile after missile.
Trouble inning was the fourth for Lucas.
It wasn't his best.
Do you know how many hits he gave up in the fourth?
Well, they gave up 16 as a team last night. The Rangers have been hitting so poorly that they needed a new hitting coach. But how many in that inning?
Seven.
Seven hits.
Damn it. I should have
seven hits.
Right under my nose.
In one inning. And the first two were rockets. They were both ground rule doubles that just went flying into the right field.
I thought it was an instant replay.
Seats.
I was like, wait. I was like, wow, they're showing this replay again? Oh, nope. Just another rope. So they're into the right field stand.
So they're already down 1-0. They fought through a rain delay and all that, whatever. So it's back-to-back just screamer doubles into the stands. Then he gives up another hit. So it's three straight hits right off the rip. At that point, if you're really trying to win the game, you got to get somebody up. You might even want to go to the mound. You might even want to get him out, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But they allow him to face a bunch more hitters. The next guy, sacrifice fly, scores a run. And then it's two more hits, and he's still in the game. Then he finally gets an out. And then it's, two more hits, and then they finally, then it's 6-0.
Yeah.
So he gave up 5 runs, 7 hits in one inning. Didn't even finish the inning.
Keith, you said something very interesting there. If they want to win, which I'm starting to question with this team.
I don't know.
The whole thing has been a disaster.
The way they approach games. So we went into the Blue Jays series up in Toronto. We're like, this is a sneaky big series for the Red Sox. They played very poorly against Toronto the first time. They were all bundled up. They couldn't hit. Let's see how they go. And in the first game against the Blue Jays, 10-2, we're like, great. Look at this team. I think it was a crochet start, if I'm not mistaken. Like the old Jones and Keefe, 10-2, they win. And you're like, okay, look at them. Then they drop the next two against the Blue Jays, bullpen implodes. They drop 2 of 3 to the Twins. They lose the opener to the Rangers last night. It wasn't competitive. They have dropped 5 out of 6. They are a game under 500, 18-19, still somehow in second place in the division.
Yeah,
they
the
are,
division's down. Not very good.
They're 2 games out in the wild card behind the Rangers and then the 3 teams in wild card spots, the Guardians, the Royals, and the A's. I mean,
not great, Bob.
I'm starting to wonder if there's any urgency over there. If they want to truly win games right now. Like, I think long term, if you asked them, would you like to win some games and make the playoffs? I think the answer is yes.
Yeah.
But is there enough urgency to want to win right now? Are they trying to win games right now? It doesn't feel that way. Let's just let Lucas Giolito go out there and get his brains beaten in. So what? We can save the bullpen to try to win tomorrow? let's just do whatever we're doing at first base. Abraham Toro?
Abraham Toro.
Let's just do whatever we're doing at first base because
nice play.
He did.
That was a nice little play.
Nice little stab at first. I mean, the ball basically brought him to the bag, but it was a nice play.
Let's
worry about the development of
Devers
our prospects.
Devers doesn't make that play.
Let's worry about... No, he probably not. Let's worry about all these other things. Devers and his happiness, the development of our prospects. Let's just worry about all that.
Lucas Giolito.
I choose you!
Let's just worry about tomorrow. We don't need to win today. Let's worry about tomorrow. That feels like the attitude, which is starting to piss me off.
Yeah, a little bit. This is where I start to get into the let's take a look at what Alex Cora's doing. Because for a lot of it, it's how much credit, how much blame do you give the manager? In baseball, where it's so much stat-based and a lot of decisions are out of his hands. Here's your lineup. Those guys have to hit. So it's sort of like Missoula. Hey, these guys need to make shots for Cora. It's like, all right, these guys need to get hits. These guys need to pitch well.
Just get some hits.
But when it's certain decisions like when to take a pitcher out, how long to leave a pitcher in, what you're doing with your substitutes and things like that, when to pinch hit, when not, all that kind of crap does go on the manager, and you're saying, all right, what are you doing? It seems like there's a lot of this. Well, this is for like the long play. This is the long play, and it's like you need to win games now. These games, the old cliche, but these games count too. Yeah. Like you need to win these ones.
Baseball is a different kind of sport. I get it. It's about the 162. It's about the grind. I understand all that. And you don't want to sacrifice and go all out for a win in May to jeopardize your future. Like, I do get it. I just feel like the pendulum is way too far in the other direction. They're way too concerned about tomorrow. And not enough about today. There should be some level of concern about trying to win the game in front of you when it's there in front of you. And I think that pendulum swung too far. I also think when you're going the way they're going, you can sell out a little more to get a win. You need to mix in a win. Five out of six and letting it slip away. You're a game under 500. It's time to worry a little bit more about today than tomorrow.
Yeah, I would say so. Nathan Eovaldi looked really good,
by the way. He's a good pitcher.
He's been solid.
He's not bad. He shut down the Red Sox twice this year.
Yeah, but Giolito was not good. So we've seen him now twice. The first one was pretty good. It could have been better. Remember, they let him out there for a little bit longer, but I don't know. I guess wanted to give him six innings. They actually blew the lead for him. He had a chance to earn the win, and they lost that game in extra innings. And then this one, he just was terrible. And I don't know what Cora was doing. Like, was he asleep in the fourth inning? Was he trying to see, like, oh, he'll pitch through it? Like, you can kind of tell. He was not going to pitch through that.
I think.
Early, you can tell.
No. I think, if I had to guess, and they just had an off day.
Yeah.
But if I had to guess, Cora's probably saving his bullpen for the rest of the series or whatever. It's like, you had the full bullpen at your disposal.
Newcomb pitched four innings.
Thank you.
You couldn't have brought him in sooner?
You could have. You absolutely could have. You have a long guy in your bullpen. He's in the bullpen for that reason.
Yeah.
So when your guy doesn't have it, go to the next guy. And my guess is the answer is we didn't want to burn through our whole bullpen. You ended up doing it anyways.
Yeah.
And you lost the game. So you got the worst of both worlds.
It's a long way from his comments last week. I think it's actually the 1 week anniversary of Alex Cora's comments to Hart and Fitzy, where he said it's a good time to be a Red Sox.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, he's on the show today.
He's on the show today.
Nice.
He should be.
2:30-ish. You're not going to want to miss it.
Basically, Meyer and Anthony can't be up here because the team's too good. The takeaway from that.
Yeah, no, he's blocked by
all these studs, all these all-stars, just everywhere.
Abraham Toro.
Yeah, Abraham Toro.
You Rafael Devers.
Guys. Yeah, Rafaela.
I'm sorry, that's what I meant to say, not Rafael Devers.
Say it on Rafaela.
Yeah, David Hamilton.
Yep.
Yeah.
All these guys, they have to be there every single
day. You start putting Story on that list, too. He struck out like 20 times in the last 40 at-bats.
He's not great. He had a nice like weak stretch. He's not great. He's never been great.
No, he's not at all. Yeah, he... 0-for-4 last night, 3 Ks, 1-for-8 in the last two with 6 Ks.
Nice.
Yeah, it's kind of falling apart on him a little bit. But, you have like these two guys just hitting the ball great down the minors. You can't find room for them. You're deciding to not really field a major league first baseman, I guess, for the foreseeable future.
Go get me a goddamn first baseman.
And then a lot of the arms are really letting them down, too. You know, because when you can't even fully rely on Garrett Crochet, that kind of hurts you. And then we still don't know start to start from Hauk. I know he had a good one, but Hauk and Giolito and Bayo. Yeah, I don't know if it's a good time to be a Red Sox right now. You're a game under 500, and so
maybe a week ago it was.
Maybe.
I would say this week not so much. Not a good week to be a Red Sox.
And I don't even want to point to like the standings or where the other teams are in the American League, because I'd put that to the side. Like, yeah, you're not buried because nobody's running away with it in the American League. So you always have that in your back pocket, but it should be more about how you're playing. Like, are you going to go on a run? Are you going to play better? And not, well, we're kind of keeping pace. Like, is that what you want? You want to be 81-81 and a couple games out of the wild card? No.
You're worse than you were a year ago.
Right.
And that team was a joke.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it should be as simple as that. Where's the urgency? And I would tie that in at first base. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. Early in the week, Monday, we gave you our plans at first base. I want Devers there. I want Roman Anthony up in the big club, DHing, playing some outfield. Keith wants to slide Christian Campbell over to first base and get
He's your cleanup hitter, so you might as well.
Get Marcelo Meyer up here playing second. Marcelo Meyer, friend of the show.
Yes.
Web gem yesterday.
Deep in the hole.
In Worcester, great play.
No, my.
So if he can do that at short, he could come up to the big leagues, you would imagine, and play some second base. Mm-hmm. Either plan is better than what they're doing, which, again, is Abraham Toro.
Yeah. He had a base knock, though.
Mixed in with some Romy Gonzalez.
Yeah, that's not going to cut it.
That's the plan, apparently, short-term, for the Red Sox. Breslow seemed to leave the door open with Rafael Devers. Cora has consistently slammed it shut. This is Cora before the game. This is good.
All right.
You talked about the Rafi first base thing the other day. Have you had any conversations with him about it?
No.
Don't plan to?
No.
Okay. Just, I mean.
You're not going to ask him?
It's unbelievable. It's like not.
That's like the Breslow. Is it a team playoff team? Yeah.
It's not. Is he going to play first base? You say
even
no
talk
to that.
To him.
No. Have you asked him about it? Nope. Do you plan on it? Nope. Like, that's wild.
It's honestly flabbergasting that they don't have a first baseman plan. Like, it's an obvious thing. Like, if you build a roster, you have your starting lineup, and then you have your replacements. You should have across the board, like, a depth chart. Like, if fans at home have a depth chart or access to a depth chart, how do you not?
Mm.
So Casas goes down, which who in the world could have saw that coming? Guy who played 60 games last year. Who in a million years could see Casas going down? He goes down, and you're like, oh, my God. Romy, Toro, nobody else. We have no other options. You can't move Devers. You can't move any of the young kids. You're not going to make a deal for anybody. Like, they got caught with their pants down.
Okay.
Like, they assumed Casas was going to play 150 games.
Even you don't want Devers at first. Even you think they should have approached
him.
Thank you.
Well, but
we at least agree on that. Could
I
you
do
ask the guy?
Because you're not asking anybody else. Okay. Like, you haven't asked Meyer and Anthony and Campbell. You're terrified to do that, even though Campbell plays multiple positions within a week.
Mm.
None of those guys are moving. You're not moving. Like, the other guys aren't everyday players. So you're just like, well, we got Turo and Romy, who aren't first basemen either.
They might not be big leaguers.
Well, that's
like,
also
like
true.
Everyday that big leaguers.
That's,
you know what
all,
I mean?
That's
I
definitely
mean,
true.
Turo is not an everyday big leaguer.
Maybe not.
Romy, I don't think, is an everyday big leaguer.
No, he's not. And they're not playing their primary position. So, like, shouldn't you have that conversation? Like, guys, what do we do next year? Actually, you shouldn't even have that conversation. That should be, like, don't you go into a game knowing who the emergency catcher is, for example?
Yes, you should.
I think Romy actually might be their emergency catcher. But anyway, like, you have an idea. You have to be prepared. So if Narvaez gets hurt, what do you do? Like, okay, you have...
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't really plan for that. It's not that far ahead.
Well, the first time this happened, when Story got hurt a couple years ago, and Kike Hernandez was playing shortstop, he was the worst shortstop in the league.
Yep.
And they were like, yeah, just keep running him out there.
They did. They trotted him out there. But, you can't just not play the game. You have to have somebody play first base or somebody play shortstop.
I do love it. Have you asked Rafael Devers? Nope.
No.
Plan on it?
No.
Nope.
Toro's going to go on a run here.
Alex Cora, do you have any plan whatsoever at first base?
No.
Oh, that's okay. Good.
All right, well.
Alex,
there's a lot of season left, Alex.
There is. Alex, is your baseball team any good?
No.
That's harsh. I mean, that is, you want to talk about pissing your players off. I said that about Missoula earlier.
Yeah.
Hi, yay, yay. Alex, are you a good manager?
No.
Wow. I mean, that's talking about truth serum.
Wow.
My goodness.
Is tonight a must win for the Celtics?
No.
Okay. All right. At least we're on the same page finally on something. All right.
I think we can all agree on this. When we were all laying out our plans, we were arguing, play Anthony at first, play Meyer
play
at first,
somebody.
Play Campbell at first, play Devers at first, bring in Anthony Rizzo, bring back Bobby Dahlbeck.
Dom Smith,
where's he at? Yeah. I heard a million different ideas of
vibes
first base.
Vibes were high with Dom Smith last year, so.
Vibes were high.
Nowhere.
Yeah.
Nowhere did I hear Abraham Toro. That was not a plan that I heard.
Nobody wants Toro. That's their plan.
That's the Red Sox plan.
Breslow and Cora, they're like, well, we got Toro. Like, what the hell?
Like, there were so many plans.
Yeah.
So many plans.
And it's one thing if you were rolling and you can kind of hide a quadruple-A player and you're like, hey, let's just see where this goes, get closer to the trade deadline and kind of reassess it. But when the team is pretty inconsistent. Like, they've scored total a lot of runs, but they're pretty inconsistent. Like, they'll have a night where they score 13 runs, and then they'll have a night like last night when they get you one. And you're just, guys are, you know, it's a baseball season, so guys are going into slumps and things like that. And then you can't really put this guy in there and expect anything out of him. Like, you need somebody else, especially when you have two guys at the minor league level that are smashing the ball.
Good Keithspiracy on the text line, 617-779-7937. Cora's response sounds like he's trolling Rafi Devers' response with the no.
Oh. Okay.
You think that's what's going on?
I don't know if that helps.
I mean, they sound very similar. No. I don't think he's trolling him. I think he's team Rafi on this one.
Yeah.
In fact, I think Cora is helping hold up the transition for Devers to move to first. I think Breslow wants to do it. I imagine a lot of people want to do it. Just listening to Breslow the other day.
Do you believe Cora? Like, they haven't even asked him? Do you think Cora pulled Devers aside after Casas got hurt and just one-on-one? And maybe the answer is no, because you've always said Devers just doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And maybe Cora's protecting him, being like,
maybe
he's not playing first, but because we didn't ask him. Whether, he probably would.
I bet they've had some kind of conversation where Devers made it clear, I'm not doing it. No. Now, but he might have done it. But he might have done it in, like, spring training, where they're like, hey, Rafi, we're going to move you off third. You're going to be the DH, but we might want you to take some ground balls over at first. I can only imagine how Devers would have responded to that.
It's just so strange to me. Like, you don't have a backup for a guy that played a third of the games last year.
Right. And if you don't have a backup first baseman on your big league roster.
No, but you have to have, the wheels need to be in motion. So I'm not saying that game you have like a great replacement.
A lot of teams don't have a backup first baseman on their roster. Plan. That's a wasted roster spot, but you have some kind of plan somewhere in your organization or some names out there where you go, boy, if this guy gets hurt, how do we replace him?
Because don't you think if any outfielder got hurt, Roman Anthony's out.
Yeah.
If Story, Bregman, or even Campbell got hurt, Meyer's up.
Right, second, third, or fourth, Meyer's up.
Casas goes second, fourth.
Second, third, or short, rather.
Why don't Meyer's they call up. Him
they, fourth? They love David Hamilton. He'd probably start every day.
I mean, Hamilton might play until he drops another ball and costs him a game like he did the other night. But I feel like first base is the one spot where they're like, all right, well, fingers crossed, it'll just be that guy all season long.
Yeah, I mean, they were even ready to go at catcher. Like, they went out and got Yasmani Grandel. Like, they were more active at catcher when Connor Wong got hurt.
Right.
Than reacting to Tristan Casas getting hurt, which is wild. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. Do you tie Devers and like that whole situation, moving off a third, being real upset about it, blowing off the media the last handful of days, doesn't even want to talk about the idea first. Cora can't even bring himself to ask, isn't even thinking about asking Rafael Devers about playing first. Do you correlate that with their struggles and the poor play on the field?
No.
I don't as much. I think Devers is, we've sort of proven out, like, not a great teammate, has never been a leader or anything like that. But when he gets going, he can be a great hitter. And that's why I'm actually fine with him just being the DH and leaving him alone as DH. That's why it's not my plan to move him to first. I think there's too many other things going on. I think the inconsistency with a lot of their pitchers, this stretch that they're on, this losing 5 of 6, four of them, I think, come down to the bullpen. Last night was not a bullpen loss. Last night was Giolito and no offense.
Last night, Cora was taking a snooze.
Yeah, he's like, oh, the game's delayed, right? Yeah. Right now? Like, no, we're actually going to play the game.
We're out there. We're playing a game right now.
So that one's not bullpen, but a lot of the other ones have been bullpen, which I think are not related to Devers. It's why you brought in a guy like Bregman. Like, Bregman is going to be more of, like, I think the on-field and off-field leader than Devers is. And he's been good. Like, he's not like he's struggling at all.
No.
Bregman's been great.
But if you want to be fair, like, I think Bregman's hit and done his job there. He didn't start fielding very well. That's picked up. But, you know, if he's going to be the leader, I mean, he's the not the manager, but like the in uniform on the field leader.
Yeah.
I mean, that feels like it's taking
the toilet.
Yeah, it feels like it's taking a bit of a nosedive from a year ago.
Another guy that we talked a lot about in the offseason because he had one of the best years a year ago. And he was one of the 5-10 best players in baseball, is Jarren Duran. And he looks more like an average player.
He does.
Like, he's kind of struggling, like 0-4 again last night, 3 Ks. He was so good last year. He was one of the reasons why you took a team that really overachieved for a while. And then obviously they fell off in the second half. But he was having like an MVP caliber season. You don't have that right now. So I think you're not really setting the table off with a guy like you had a year ago. He is kind of taking a step backwards.
617-779-7937. More on the Red Sox continuing to struggle. We'll get to George Pickens, dealt to the Dallas Cowboys earlier today. I had identified him quite frequently as a possible target for the Patriots. That's another swing and a miss. We can get to that. Before the hour's out, we have Pure Hoops with Terp at high noon. And coming up next, we'll get to some Would You Rathers on a Would You Rather Wednesday right after Trending with Billy Laney.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. The Red Sox have now dropped 3 in a row after last night's 6-1 loss to the Rangers at Fenway. Lucas Giolito got the loss after giving up 6 runs on 10 hits in 3 and 2/3 innings. The Sox lone run came off of a Christian Campbell RBI single scoring Alex Bregman in the bottom of the 6th. The Rangers-Red Sox series continues tonight. First pitch is at 6:45. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Lenny Donato right here on 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Style Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Tanner Houck gets a start for the Sox against the Rangers' Tyler Malley. Don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at Christian Arcand beginning at 5:45. Drew Holiday has been named the winner of the 2024-2025 Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Social Justice Champion Award. Tonight, the Celtics look to even up their series with the Knicks at the TD Garden. Kristaps Porzingis is listed as probable with an illness, while Sam Hauser is doubtful with an ankle injury. Game 2 tips off at 7 o'clock. After Knicks-Celtics, it's Game 1 between the Nuggets and the Thunder. In NBA playoff action last night, the Pacers took a 2-0 series lead on the Cavs with Indiana's 120-119 win, and the Warriors went up 1-0 on the Timberwolves, beating Minnesota 99-88. In the NHL playoffs last night, the Hurricanes took Game 1 on the Capitals, defeating Washington 2-1, and the Oilers went up 1-0 on the Golden Knights with their 4-2 win. Tonight is Game 2 between the Panthers and Maple Leafs. Toronto leads that series 1-0, and it's Game 1 in the Stars-Jets series. According to multiple sources, Cowboys have acquired wide receiver George Pickens and a 2027 sixth-round pick from the Steelers for a 2026 third-round pick and a 2027 fifth-round pick. And tonight, the Revolution will be in Pawtucket, taking on Rhode Island FC in a round of 32 matchup in the U.S. Open Cup. Kickoff is at 7:30. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. I'm Billy Laney. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
It's time for
Would You Rather Wednesday.
Would you rather Juan Soto or Would you rather have a pet monkey or a mini pig? Would you rather be a werewolf or a vampire?
On Jones and Keefe.
Would You Rather Wednesday, Jones and Keefe. It's brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. Some saluting on the text line, Keith. You see
this? Oh, yeah. People are digging in.
617-779-7937. Now, we cannot corroborate this, Keith.
No. We weren't there.
But we do have boots on the ground. That's on the good text line. Hey, guys.
Yep. Hey.
Don't tell anyone.
All right. Too late.
Much too late for that. I wish I read that part.
Uh-huh.
But I saw Devers at Dick's Sporting Goods checking out gloves yesterday.
How about that? Some of the Dick's Sporting Goods, you can get in there and really, they got like a little batting cage.
Oh, yeah.
Guy get $300 million. He's going to Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah, well, let's
check out some gloves.
Just working them out, see if they get a deal on any of them.
Says the sales kid went to the back for a first baseman's glove.
How about that? Oh, that's where they keep the first baseman's gloves?
Yeah, those are not just going to leave on the floor.
Yeah, like, well, not out here.
Yeah. No, you don't. What are you going to hang like?
Let me check.
50 first baseman gloves? You don't need that kind of inventory, especially with the tariffs. Yeah. You don't need that kind of inventory.
No, that's true.
Put those in the back.
Love a good first baseman's glove.
Devers was wearing a Yankees hat as a disguise.
Oh, that throw people off the scent.
You didn't hear this from me, ..
Okay.
So good intel there from the text
line.
Something
to keep an eye on.
Maybe, look, I'd be all for it. Mm-hmm. I hope Devers was taking it upon himself.
I mean, that guy that was delivering Josh McDaniels' papers said he was the next OC.
Not a bad
point. We did have that first.
We did have that before anyone else. That's true. So look, I'll take it. It's better than the Red Sox current plan of not even asking him. He's taking it upon himself to go try on first baseman gloves.
He is a good teammate.
In disguise.
Turns out.
At Dick's Sporting Goods. Oh, good.
Okay.
Also good to know they don't have, if you're ever at a Dick's and you're looking for a first baseman's glove,
they're
you
in
say,
the back.
Check in the back.
Like one text to his agent and there's a room of 100 first baseman's mitts.
Again, okay, everyone he wants.
Game can't just worn. Ask the equipment guy, like, hey, can you try a glove?
Instead he's putting Dick's into maps and trying to find out where the closest one is.
Like, can I get Doug Minkiewicz's glove from the World Series?
Like, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. Okay, let's get to some Would You Rathers here on Jones and Keith. What's our first Would You Rather, Billy?
First, would you rather Jalen Brunson or Tyrese Halliburton?
I would rather Brunson. It's a difficult day to come out and say it, Keith,
Halliburton.
Because Halliburton hit such a big shot while Brunson
shot.
Missed a massive shot at the end of regulation. His team wound up winning anyway. Jalen Brunson, to me, is a better player. They're similarly exposed defensively, so I would rather have Jalen Brunson, but I'll acknowledge the way Halliburton's playing in the postseason, it's probably closer than I would have given it credit for.
I'd take Halliburton, and I know Brunson's a guy that always gets sort of like passed over and always gets sort of like pushed down, and people finally are acknowledging how good Brunson is. I like Halliburton more. He is 3 years younger, too. Like, so if you're playing that game out, like, who would you rather have for, like, the long haul? I think he has more prime years left in him. He's not the scorer that Brunson is, but, I mean, what a distributor. I think, was it last year he led the league in assists? Like, he's going to be – he's, like, 20 points, 10 assists a game.
I was gonna say, he does have games where he's oddly, like, not – involved offense. I shouldn't say involved, but like not shooting enough. I feel like there are games where his scoring, you're just like, where is he? He's the best scorer on the team. Where is
he? Halliburton?
Yes.
Yeah. But I also think, like, you look at the team that he's on and like Pascal Siakam and Nembhard, and
they're balanced.
They're balanced, but they're not like great. Like, I feel like if you put him on a team with like Tatum or something, the assists might even go up higher.
No, that's fair.
And then you don't need his scoring as much. Brunson's good. Like, I would probably have both those guys in the top 15. And it was funny, Halliburton made the Olympic team. Brunson was a snub from the Olympic team. We all talk about Jaylen Brown, but Brunson also was a snub. Somehow Derek White made it over both those guys. But
doesn't regardless, make sense.
But Halliburton was also the guy that like didn't play. Like he played less than Tatum did on the Olympic team.
So I was just looking this up. Twitch chat points it out. I thought I had read this in the headlines the last few weeks. Halliburton was voted in the anonymous player poll for The Athletic the most overrated player in the NBA.
Yeah, and Shaq came out and was like, no, he's not. Remember Tim Hardaway was it Tim Hardaway was ripping him?
But Senior?
Tim, yeah.
Okay.
But he has, remember we talked about this on the show, Tyrese Halliburton's cousin, I believe, is Eddie Jones.
Oh,
and there's
a history between Eddie Jones and yes.
Hardaway, because Hardaway was like, if I could come back into the league and like kick one player's ass to be Halliburton, right, everyone's like, what? What are you talking about?
Right.
No, but I mean, I guess somebody has to be the most overrated by the players, and for years it was Rudy Gobert. The players hate Rudy Gobert.
He stinks.
But I guess it's pivoted to Tyrese Halliburton.
I guess Halliburton. I would go Brunson, but it's close. And it's a hard day to come in and say Brunson when Halliburton had the
huge
magic
shot
that he had at the end of that game. What else do we have, Billy?
Would you rather Brad Marchand in the Panthers or the Maple Leafs win this series?
So they need the pick, right? But, I mean, I'm not really rooting for either one.
I am. So, look, this is selfish, but like from a content standpoint, Marchand being around has the potential to pick up steam the deeper they go.
Oh, like Marchand in the cup final?
Well, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not rooting for Marchand to win a cup.
But part of me would almost like the Maple Leafs.
But I'd like them to advance to
get all the way there.
And then have
lose.
Them lose.
And then you get the shots of all the people outside watching the game in the cup
Leaf
final
square.
Going crazy, and then they lose.
For this round, I am rooting for Marchand and the Panthers. Right. I don't want them to win the cup. I want the pick for the Bruins. Although, who knows? The lottery balls probably won't bounce their way anyway whenever the pick comes around.
And
but
one of them's protected. Like, the early years, like 28 is protected, like the top 10 or whatever. It's like an NBA trade.
The pick they're getting in 2028 is protected?
Yeah, I think it's like lottery protected and then 2029 unprotected.
God. Anyways, I'll root for the draft pick, even though it's years and years away. And I'll root for Marchand still being in it, because I think that has the potential to be selfishly show content for us. Eastern Conference final, certainly a cup final. So I'll root for that.
Okay, would you rather the Red Sox trade for a first baseman or move a player on their roster?
Move a player. I want Devers at first.
Yeah. I don't think they need to trade yet. Although, if they're so stubborn and they're so afraid to move the young guys and they're not going to talk to Devers about it, I guess at that point, I would rather them trade for somebody than just trot out Toro and Romy again.
So but who are they trading for? Like, the text line brought up Alonso. Bradford's brought up Alonso. He's not getting traded.
I don't think Alonso is going to get traded.
The Mets are too good.
Yes, so I don't even know who else. I don't even know who else it would be.
Reese Hoskins is a name that I saw, but the Brewers are currently over 500. But I mean, it's kind of early to look.
Reese Hoskins.
Okay.
I'd rather they move Devers there and call up the kids. That's what I would rather.
Okay.
Hoskins years ago was a good player in Philly. How's he been recently in Milwaukee? I don't even know.
He smacks some dingers though, right?
Does he?
I
think all he does is really smack some dingers.
Hoskins is a long dong guy.
He's not owned in our dinger.
That might have been a miss.
Think that was an oversight?
Snub. He might have been a snub.
Okay, Reese Hoskins.
No, I think you move guys around. I think you could be all right.
Reese Hoskins has 4 homers this year, but he did have 26 a year ago.
26 homers, not bad.
Did not play in 2023, injury.
Non-COVID?
Doesn't say. Okay. 30 in 2022, 27 the year before that. So he is more of a dinger guy than I was giving him
credit
for.
More of a dinger guy.
All right. You know what? I'm almost half talking myself into trading for Reese. I would still move Devers there first. I would still like to get Roman Anthony up on the big club, but you're right. Abraham Toro or Reese Hoskins?
No, go
get Reese Hoskins.
Get out of here. Yeah.
Okay, what's our last one,
Billy? Last one, would you rather a TV show release their episodes weekly or all at once?
All right, so this is, I think you can get away with both, but I would say if the show's really, really good, it should be weekly. That way you can really digest an episode. You don't have to worry about these lunatics binge-watching the whole thing and then spoiling it for you, which I'm very concerned with all the time.
Right, you are.
So if they like release a show on Netflix and there's 8 episodes, less than 8 hours later, there's people on Twitter being like, can't believe that happened. Can't believe this guy's dead.
I mean, look,
how did you see all this?
You watch way more television than I do. You care about television much more than I do. But like, for instance, Severance, which you got me into. If I had that spoiled for me, I would be pretty upset.
And think about Severance is a good example. If that would, that'd be so overwhelming.
Okay, but
there's a lot going on in each episode.
But here's what I did. Like, I didn't watch season one live. I didn't catch up till like season three or episode 3 or 4 of this season.
Okay.
I do like being able to watch like 2 or 3 in a row. I kind of hate the experience of waiting all week to watch the 1 hour.
Mm.
I do like being able to watch 2 or 3 at my own leisure and just like cram the storyline together. I feel like when I wait a whole week, I lose little aspects of the storyline over the course of the week.
See, I think there's
maybe
some,
that's my stupid brain. I need to blame my brain more than that. But like, I do like being able to watch a bunch. I'm not going to watch 8 in one sitting or 10 in one sitting, but I might watch 2 or 3.
Well, because I think that I like the idea of like the must-see sort of thing. Like, you got to watch it live. So like sports is why sports is so good. You can't just like DVR them. Like, unless you're really busy with whatever. You usually watch them live because you got to watch it live.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few shows that are like that. So like when The Last of Us right now, or like House of the Dragon or Game of Thrones or whatever, when they're on, you're watching it 9 o'clock on Sunday. And then the next day you can talk about it. If they're like, hey, here's 8 episodes. now every one of your friends is watching it at a different time. They're like, did you see this? Like, well, I watched 3.5 episodes.
It's like
oh, yeah, well, I'm done.
It's like the Clubhouse. Started. The Clubhouse. We were just all over the map.
Clubhouse was
Clubhouse.
Nuts. Still haven't finished the Clubhouse, for God's sakes.
Everybody was talking about it. Yeah. Some people have watched
it. Me and Nick were talking about it like the other day where it was like, the Clubhouse that says, like, next episode, and you kind of like, Right. Whereas, like, the comeback, you're like, yes, next episode.
Yep. Yeah. That so, was like, when they dropped all at once, though.
I do think garbage TV is good for the binge, because you don't really care if it's spoiled. So that
you don't think they needed to wait a full week for Celtic City? They could have dropped all of those at once?
No. I think Celtic City's good.
I think they could have dropped all of those at once.
Could you imagine having to wait a week for the next I Think You Should Leave episode?
Well, no, but you know, that's 15 minutes. That's so that you can watch legitimately in a sitting.
Right, you can watch the whole season.
But like the show,
a couple hours, even not
think
even
about like the Sopranos at the time.
Yeah,
I would. Like you can get it all at once. Wouldn't you get it all at once?
No, not me.
isolate that. That's a drop.
Yes, I would. But as far as TV is concerned, I would say no. I would rather space. No, there's a show on Netflix called You, Y-O-U.
Mm-hmm. And it's like a soap opera.
They're on their fifth season.
Okay,
it's a garbage show.
But I watch like
I watch it.
I watch like the first three seasons.
No, I like it. Okay. I'm just saying, but that's the perfect show for like. They ramp it up at the end. At the end of every episode, you're like, "Oh, I gotta stick around." So like, yeah, that's fine.
I gotta see what Dan from Gossip Girl is doing.
But like, yes,
yeah.
But like a big time show, like when The Walking Dead was on, like that was a once a week thing. You had all week to talk about it, and then it would come back the next week.
Okay, so you want the episode? I think I want them all at once.
Yeah, if I have to choose between the two, because I watch shows that do both. But if I had to choose, I'd say weekly.
Okay,
yeah.
Some disagreement there in Would You Rather Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. We have Pure Hoops with Terp coming your way at high noon. We have an emergency key for madness at 1245. It's a pretty good one. We don't normally put the emergency stamp on these or a Wednesday key for madness.
True.
But you're going to get one today. You're in luck at 1245. And big trade in the NFL today. George Pickens to the Dallas Cowboys. Should the Patriots have been in? We'll get to it next.
Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Now, first, the big news for the Dallas Cowboys. They have now finally gone all in. They are finalizing a deal. The Cowboys are for George Pickens, the former now Steelers star receiver. Obviously, the Steelers acquired DK Metcalf earlier in this offseason. You wondered immediately, what would that mean for George Pickens? Is there essentially room in the receiver room for both of them? All parties said the right thing. Meanwhile, the Dallas Cowboys very quietly worked on this big-time deal, tried to get it done before the draft, was not able to come to completion. Then, over the last couple days, restarted the process of trying to acquire George Pickens. In the end, that is exactly what is going to happen, a deal that should be finalized today. In all, it is a third-round pick going to the Pittsburgh Steelers in exchange for George Pickens, also expected to be a late-round pick swap.
Big trade in the NFL earlier today. I almost said out of nowhere. I mean, I think this name has been on our radar. I was surprised to see it today specifically.
Yeah.
When I woke up, I wouldn't have been surprised earlier in the offseason. I wouldn't have been surprised at the draft. I kind of thought with the draft coming and going, George Pickens was going to remain with the Steelers. But this is a name I highlighted a lot in the offseason, especially after the Patriots lost out on DK Metcalf. But even prior to that, this is a guy I wanted and I thought was available, and it turns out he was. The Cowboys get him for a third-round pick and a pick swap. Do you think they should have been in, meaning the Patriots, Keith?
Yeah, I mean, I think all along it was definitely somebody that you looked at. You're like, the guy is kind of a maniac. Like he is a hard guy.
He's a maniac.
And I'm very much take the talent and then kind of figure it out. But even with him, I was kind of hesitant about it. Deontay Johnson is like the one guy that I've completely crossed off my list, right? Yeah, that's one where I'm like, I just can't.
Even me?
Yeah, I can't.
That one was, I think I still would have done it, but that one I was a
straight no on him. And usually I'm not. You know, going back to, you know, Antonio Brown's cup of coffee with the Patriots, I was all in favor of that. Didn't work out for all the number of reasons, right? Like, but I wanted all these guys. Josh Gordon, a guy I really, really wanted, that also, you know, had its moments, but overall didn't really work out. I think at this point, knowing what the Patriots receiver room is, and knowing what the cost was to get him, I would have tried it. I would have tried it. I would have brought him in. Also, the fact that Steph Diggs, no guarantee, is ready for week one. I think you have to factor that in, too. And if it works, he could line up with Drake May, and he could be his guy for a while. Now, I know there's a chance that it doesn't work, but what's the high end of Mac Hollins? What's the high end of Kendrick Bourne? What's the high end of Jalen Polk? the high end of George Pickens is all pro. Like he could be that good of a receiver. And if you trust Mike Vrabel, Josh McDaniels, and even to a lesser extent Drake May, maybe it could work. At least for a few years it could work.
So I obviously would have been in. I've been beating the drum for this offseason. Yeah. A third round pick to me is the right kind of draft capital. Like, for instance, would I rather traded a third round pick this year and gotten George Pickens at the draft? I mean, I know now you could trade a future. Or Kyle Williams, I would rather George Pickens. I know what he is.
Right.
Now, he is a maniac, and I've always characterized him that way and qualified it with that. That's why he's available. Yeah. If he was a good teammate who wasn't wild about his contract and just sat there and did his job, Pittsburgh would make him available.
Right.
So there's a reason he's available. You got to cut some corners, I think, to up your talent.
Elliott Wolf could have drafted him a couple of years ago, but chose Tyquan Thornton.
Bill could have.
No, I know, Bill. But I'm just saying, like, well, Bill's gone. We can't blame Bill.
No, and Wolf was definitely a part of that. I don't completely let him off the hook because Wolf
wanted a fast guy.
So they got a fast guy.
Wolf waited forever to cut him. So Pickens, prior to last year, had played every game. He's only 3 years in the NFL, but he went 17-17-14. Yep. I only point out the missed games to highlight that he had 900 yards last year.
Yeah.
You might look at that and go, oh, well, he wasn't a 1,000-yard guy.
He would have been.
He missed three games in there, so he would have been. And he's had just atrocious quarterback play in his career.
Ken Pickett. Like, it's not good, yeah.
I mean, Wilson and Fields a year ago, Mason Rudolph before. Like, he's had just atrocious quarterback play.
So he's had four quarterbacks throw him a touchdown.
Did we just get him? Pickett, Rudolph, Fields.
Not Fields. Fields wasn't
Fields
one of
didn't
them.
Throw
so the one. Other guy.
Wilson.
From last year, Russell Wilson.
Who's the other one?
Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, nice.
So Trubisky, Pickett, Rudolph, Wilson.
I mean, that's atrocious quarterback
that
play.
That is bad stuff.
So I would do it. And I know people are like, text line, 617-779-7937. Oh, I'm sure Jones would trade for the most disgruntled Pickens and say it would work out. Well, yeah, I would. I've been saying it all offseason, so yes, I would.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not saying now that they didn't get him that I want him, or now that they didn't get him, oh, I never would have wanted him in the first place like a lot of Patriots fans are doing. And all I would say is be consistent on this. I've seen a lot of this today. The locker room couldn't handle George Pickens. If it's just about their personality, you have Steph Diggs on the team.
But I would also argue, too. Well, yeah, there's that, but
you
also
can say Diggs is a better player. He was pre-injury. You can say Diggs, it's only money. You didn't have to give up a draft pick. But if you're just talking about personalities and you care about the personality and the fit in the locker room, Diggs is on his fourth team for a reason, and he flamed out certainly the first two. And I think even last year, the Texans completely overhauled their receiver room. They could have brought him back. They didn't. If it's about personality and fit and character and all these things, you're employing Steph Diggs. So, like, let's not go too far with that.
No, but also, I think you're insulting Mike Vrabel. If you're like, oh, it won't work, you can't do it. It's like, well, why? Like, why can't it?
Vrabel should be able to handle that.
Yeah, I think he can.
That's part of the idea of having a Mike Vrabel.
If Jerod Mayo, for some reason, not to pile on Mayo all the time, but it's too hard not to, but if Kraft was stubborn, it was like, Mayo's coming back this year, and then this same conversation came up, like, would you bring in George Pickens? He's like, why? So the whole thing could blow up? Like, I mean, no, I'm not doing that.
That would be more fair.
But, like, you have real NFL coaches. Like, everyone's talking about how this staff has four previous NFL head coaches. They have like 1,000 years of experience. But this guy's kind of a knucklehead, so we can't bring him in.
Right.
It's like, no, this would be actually a place that maybe it could work.
He's a maniac, and he yells at his quarterbacks, and he wants the ball.
Great.
All those things are Steph Diggs, and Diggs is hurt and might not be ready week one. Diggs is his prime, better player. Not arguing that.
Oh, well, yeah.
He's not in his prime. This guy's 24. He's going to be 24 all year, I think, right? He just turned 24 in March.
For a full year, he'll be 24.
Now, he needs a contract. No, I'm saying he doesn't turn.
No, he just turned.
He doesn't turn 25
like
in a couple of months.
No,
the whole football season, rather, Keith. He's going to be playing at age
365 days. He's going to be 24 years old.
He needs a contract, so you got to pay him. And like I heard this logic before with DK Metcalf, I would bring in a player like this. But if you don't want to, and you don't think Drake May and or Mike Vrabel can handle it, then that's on you. Good
fun
point
fact
by Keith. 617-779-7937. Yes,
I got a fun fact.
Oh, good.
Full of them. George Pickens went to Hoover High in Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the MTV show Two-A-Days?
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say.
He wasn't on that.
No, I was about to. I couldn't remember the name of the show. I was about to guess it. Two-A-Days. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wouldn't
great
have got
show.
That. I was about to say Last Chance U. I knew it wasn't that.
No, no.
But yeah, Two-A-Days on MTV.
It was like real-life Friday Night Lights.
What happened with that coach? Didn't something not so great happen with that
probably,
coach?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay.
But Chad Jackson also went to that school.
Mm.
Marlon Humphrey went to that school.
Okay, well, that's a better player. Yeah.
I think it was that year on that show, it was a John Parker Wilson kid who I think ended up at Alabama, the quarterback. But I remember watching that show. I was like, oh, it was perfect, right in my wheelhouse. they played against Tim Tebow in high school. And, like, all the kids, if the kids that, like, didn't even play football in, like, the cafeteria, like, are you guys
Tim
playing
Tebow?
That? Not even, like, they're, like, the quarterback, like, on, like, whatever the school was. They're nice. Like, oh, my God, like, how good is that guy?
Nice.
Yeah, they're ahead of the curve on that.
Turns out pretty good. You can jump in. Randy in Providence has been waiting very patiently. All right, go ahead, Randy.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Look, I would disagree with you on Pickens, and just bear with me a moment, because I know you guys get a little quick trigger on me sometimes. But it would just be a resounding no. I think it was a bad trade by the Cowboys, too. I think they were basically only bidding against themselves, according to, like, NFL reporters and rumors and stuff around the league. And I think that's because that's one of the few situations where you need a wide receiver, but your coach doesn't have a whole lot of input on personnel, where Jerry Jones is making the moves, but Brian Schottenheimer, brand-new coach, he doesn't have that much input. Well, you look at other situations in the league, the Chargers, the Bills, the Patriots, all need wide receivers, but their coaches have heavy input.
Yeah, so I'll blame Vrabel for not getting that. Randy being a bit of a George Pickens there, demanding how much time we give him.
Jeez.
You think the Cowboys made a bad trade?
I think it was a great trade.
Me too.
I think it was excellent.
I think it would have been worse if they gave up a third rounder this year. They kicked it down the road another year, and you get Pickens. Now, what I would blame the Cowboys for is it sounds like they didn't talk extension at all. They have, like,
no, you gotta get
no
that
idea
out.
On a contract with him.
No, you got to get a contract
but
with
in
him.
Terms of the actual compensation they gave up, a third rounder, I think that's more than fine for George Pickens.
Yeah.
You better,
no, I have no problem with that.
Not personality-wise, but production-wise, you hope to God Kyle Williams is George Pickens, and you got him in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they gave up for him. 617-779-7937. We got all your phone calls there on Jones and Keith. We'll get back to the Celtics every Wednesday at high noon.
Oh, yes.
It's Pure Hoops with Turp, Justin Turpin at WEEI.com. He joins us in studio next.